I'm speaking with Dr. James Green, Director of Planetary Science at NASA headquarters. So you're celebrating 1 year today.
Yes, 1 year.
So how are you celebrating? How are you marking this occasion?
There's many things that are going on in several of the NASA centers in terms of celebrating, remembering what it was like and their contribution, but also talking about the science. And in fact, NASA headquarters, starting at noon today, will be reviewing the great work that Curiosity has done over this last year, and also talking about future activities, which could lead to humans on Mars, of course.
Take us back a year ago and refresh our memory about that 7 minutes of terror and what that landing was like.
Well, we've never landed a rover this massive before on Mars, and Mars has a very thin atmosphere, and it's very difficult to do. And so consequently, some of the most brilliant minds in NASA had to get together to create a process that we call entry, descent, and landing that will enable us to put this rover down safely on the surface. So that involved slowing down the whole capsule, which was entering the atmosphere at more than 13,000 miles per hour, to then actually get it to land on the surface moving inches per second. And so that's an enormous amount of energy to take out. And so we first had a heat shield on the capsule that slowed it down till we got to several hundred miles an hour. And then we popped a chute, which also slowed it down even further. And then we finally dropped the rover with a what we call sky crane, which is an entire system wrapped around the rover of rockets that then hovered over the surface and then lowered the rover down to the ground. And once it received the signals that it was on the surface safely, the cables were cut and the sky crane flew away and crashed. And then Curiosity could begin its science.
Tell us more about that. What has Curiosity found this past year?
Well, Curiosity ended up landing in what we think is an ancient riverbed. There's plenty of clues and signs all around that water flowed in this area for thousands, if not millions of years. It rounded pebbles. It created conglomerates. It looks just exactly like dried up riverbeds here in the United States. And so it tells us that liquid water flowed on Mars, that water, which is so critical to life, was actually potentially drinkable if we were there at the time is billions of years ago that Curiosity is investigating. So this is pretty spectacular. It tells us that Mars is a blue planet in its past, much like the Earth, and potentially habitable. In other words, it had an environment with an extensive atmosphere. It had flowing water, therefore it rained. It potentially had clouds, and it perhaps looked much more like Earth then than it does today.
So tell me a little bit about the day-to-day work that you guys do. What does your day look like for the scientists and the people who operate Curiosity?
Well, there's several types of what we would call typical days. Right now, the day is planned mostly to drive. Curiosity is moving quite briskly, about 100 meters a day towards a very large mountain called Mount Sharp. But it's taking pictures along the way, and it's looking, of course, for exciting and interesting environments for us to stop at. But indeed, previous days where we did surveying and we took thousands of pictures and then actually fired our laser and then created spectrum that tells us these are areas that we need to go over and investigate further, that data is taken and then analyzed by the scientists. When we first started out, the scientists had to stay on what we call Mars time. Now, Mars time is one day on Mars is 24 hours and about 20 minutes. And so it's not really quite like Earth. And so it doesn't take very long before our scientists who are on Mars time, have to go home and go to bed in the middle of an Earth day and then get up in the middle of the night and go back to work because it's day on Mars. And so by staying on a Mars day, they were able to analyze the data, make decisions, and then radio that back up to the rover to do the next set of experiments.
So what does the future have in store for Curiosity?
Well, Curiosity, as I mentioned, is moving quite briskly towards Mount Sharp. Mount Sharp is about 2 miles high, and it is fabulously arrayed with layers. Stratigraphy is so obvious from Curiosity's vantage point. And that stratigraphy is like pages in a history book. It tells us the sediments that have occurred and what's happened on Mars over perhaps billions of years. So we're really quite anxious to get to that area and really interrogate those layers and look for what happened to Mars that changed it from a blue planet to the red planet we know today.
This mission has been a huge success.
Sure has.
What does that say about NASA and how far you've come?
Well, from NASA's perspective, it's part of a grander plan. Curiosity is a huge step towards actually having humans on Mars. As I mentioned, Curiosity, by being in its location, is interrogating the past of Mars, but it's also making measurements of what Mars is like today. It's making measurements of its atmosphere and its temperature variation and its humidity and pressure variations. And so these huge steps enable us to plan for future humans actually landing and living on Mars in 20, perhaps in 30 years.
That's soon.
We can do that. We can do that. We have the scientific intelligence, the engineering excellence in this country to make major advances and have humans leave low Earth orbit and go to Mars.